Morning. Say that again. Morning. So Joel's going to go through Colossians 4, I think, in a bit. So I have a quick, short topic I wanted to talk about that ties into something at the very start of Colossians 4. The topic I was going to talk about is something we had talked a little bit about this week as a family, but it's about impossible commandments and how that ties into dependence on God. Okay, so we're going to talk about that, and we are going to start in Colossians 4. I'm going to share for a few minutes about that. The last song Jason sung, I didn't ask him to do it, but it was Abide, and it said, I depend on you. So that's a good tie-in. Because what was on my heart was just learning complete dependence on God and how that ties into impossible commandments. So let's go to Colossians chapter 4. And I'm only going to read two verses to start, and that'll be the intro to the topic, and then I think Joel's going to go through that more later. Colossians 4, and I'm only going to read verse 5 and 6. Says in verse 5, conduct yourself with wisdom toward outsiders, making the most of the opportunity. Let your speech always be with grace, as though seasoned with salt, so you will know how to respond to every person. So Colossians 4, and just focus on verse 6, let your speech always be with grace. Okay, so if we think about that commandment, and I wanted to tell you another verse, and you don't have to turn there, but it says in James chapter 3, when it talks about the tongue, James 3 verse 6 to 8, it says, the tongue is a fire, the very world of iniquity. The tongue is set among the members, our members, as that which defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of our life and is set on fire by hell. For every species of beast and bird and reptiles and creatures of the sea are tamed and have been tamed by the human race, but no one can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil and full of deadly poison. So I wanted us to take a moment and compare those two verses. So Colossians 3, it says, let our speech always be filled with grace. Okay, so that's a command from the Lord. It's something we need to do. But then if we look at James chapter 3, it says no one can tame the tongue. So it seems to us that we're faced with an impossible commandment. We're commanded to do it. And yet, on the other hand, it says no one can do it. And I wanted to ask ourselves as well. So that's one example of an impossible command. If we think about it, your own life, you know, there could be some other things in your life, you know, you struggle with. Like, and I'll just list a few examples, but I want you to think about it yourself as well. What are those, you know, those things that we find almost impossible? We know the Lord tells us to do it, but, you know, it's impossible. For someone, it might be speech. You know, for someone else, it could be lust. You know, it talks in the Bible not to lust. That's something people can struggle with. You know, the fear of man, we're commanded not to fear men, yet oftentimes we can have fear of man, right? There's pride, you know, we're commanded not to have pride, right? And not to look good in front of others, yet sometimes we can struggle with that. There can be a lot of commands in the Bible that could be, you know, what is that one for us that's, you know, we struggle with? So what I wanted to talk about briefly was when we're faced with an impossible command, what is the solution? And how does that tie into dependence on God? So first of all, oftentimes when we're faced with an impossible command, what is our natural response we do naturally? Well, I think the first thing is oftentimes we'll try harder. Hey, it didn't work. I'm not supposed to get angry. I got to try harder not to get angry. So next time I'm faced with a situation, I'm going to use all of my willpower and try not to get angry. Oftentimes that's what we do. Or we'll resolve in our will. You know what? I messed up. I'm going to try to do better next time. That's oftentimes how we can react. But I want to talk about that's not the way God wants us to do. Before man sinned in the garden, God wanted people, or Adam and Eve, to live in complete dependence on him. After they sinned, they chose independence from God. The serpent told Eve, you will be like God. So in other words, you don't need God. You know, you can choose your own path. You can choose your own thing. You can choose your own way. But what God wants for us is he wants us to get to a place of complete dependence on God in everything. He wants us to overcome sin and to obey his commandments. God wants us to do it not in our own strength, but completely relying on him. the commandments that can seem impossible. Like, what is that impossible commandment for you? For some, it might be the speech. For someone else, it could be lust or many different things. But whatever that commandment is, the Lord wants you to get to a place where we do not put any reliance on our own strength. So I think the first step to complete reliance, complete dependence on God so we can overcome, is not to have any reliance on ourselves. We have to realize that we can't do it. In Romans chapter 7, verse 18, I'll just read that verse quickly. Romans 7, 18. Paul says, "For I know that nothing good dwells in me. I know the willing is present in me, but the doing of good is not." So the first point I want to make is for us to come to a place of complete dependence on God, we have to know that nothing good is in us. We can't actually do it. Oftentimes we think that I can probably do it if I try harder. You know, we often have that natural response. If I try harder, I can do it. We try, we might succeed for a little bit, then we fall again. God wants us, first of all, to come to that place where we know nothing good dwells in us. I can't actually do it. So if we get to that place where we trust in ourselves, we try and we fail, we get up again, we try again and we fail again, you know, we might get to that place like what Paul says in Romans 7:24, "Wretched man that I am, who will set me free from this body of death?" Where we're trying and we're failing. And what happens is when we get to that place, we're wanting to overcome. We see God's word says we need to overcome, but we're not able to do it. Oftentimes there's two options in front of us. Option one is we can get discouraged and give up. We just like, it doesn't work. I give up. I can't do it. But the second option is, and this is what we all need to learn, is we need to go to God. And we need to say, "Lord, your word says I have to do this. Your word says I need to overcome in this area. But I'm finding that I can't. I tried and it doesn't work for me. Lord, you're the only one who can help me. Please help me." And I think if we actually come to God, it says in this verse we read often in James 4, verse 6, it says, "His grace comes to the humble." If we have no dependence on ourselves, and we know we can't do it, but we go to God and we say, "Lord, my only hope to overcome in this area is by your grace. I can't do it," and we have no dependence on ourselves. What we'll do is when we look to him, we'll find this miraculous grace coming to help us, and somehow we'll find ourselves being able to overcome in that area. Philippians 4, verse 13, you don't have to turn there, I'll read it. It says, "I can do all things through him who strengthens me." So to overcome and to come to this place of complete dependence on God, number one, we need to realize there's nothing good in us. We can't do it ourselves. If we have a little bit of hope that we can do it, you know, we're going to fail. We have to realize there's nothing good in us. I can't do it. Secondly, we need to come to the place where we look to God and we say, "Lord, I can't do it, but you can do it." We have to have faith that the Lord can help us to overcome. And like it says in the word, his grace will come to the humble. If we're not depending on ourselves and we completely go to the Lord, he will be able to help us to overcome. As an example, if I asked my little six-year-old Luke to lift, let's say, 400 pounds, like some kids here do deadlifting, and if I asked him to come and do that, you know, he'd come up and he might put his hands on the bar and try to lift it up and, you know, try a few times and it would be completely impossible. So what does Luke do? You know, he should come and he should ask for help. Say, "Lord, Daddy, I can't do it. Can you help me?" And, you know, maybe I'd be able to, I probably wouldn't be able to help him, but God can help with whatever that task is. But there's one more thing I wanted to mention about this. If I gave Luke a 5-pound weight and I said, "Luke, I want you to lift it," you know, he'd look at it and say, "Yeah, I could do it, no problem," and he'd do it. What the Lord also wants us to do, I think, is the Lord wants us not only to completely depend on him in the areas that we think are impossible for us, the Lord also wants us to completely depend on him in those areas that we're naturally good at, the areas that we're naturally strong at. Each one of us also, you know, if you look at your own life and your own heart, we have things we're naturally good at. You know, I'm fairly good at numbers. You know, I can work numbers pretty good. You know, some kids here are good at, you know, swimming, lifeguarding, you know, all kinds of different things. The Lord has gifted you with natural abilities. But to have complete dependence on God, even in those natural things that we're good at, the Lord wants us to learn to come to him, even if we're good at it, and say, "Lord, I need your help in this. I need your help in every area of my life." So if I need to do a spreadsheet for work or whatever it is, you know, I need to have that place where I can completely depend on him, no reliance on self. So anyways, those were some of the things on my heart this morning. I wanted to finish off with Isaiah chapter 40. And to summarize again, the Lord wants us to realize there's nothing good in us. We can't do it on our own. Only by his grace we can overcome in those impossible tasks. And not only that, but the things that we are also good at, the Lord wants us to learn to completely depend on him, even in those things we're good at. So Isaiah chapter 40, verse 29. It says, he gives strength to the weary, and to him who lacks might, he increases power. Though youths grow weary and tired and vigorous young men stumble, those who wait on the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not become weary. So that's the one area that was on my heart this week. Let's learn complete dependence on God. And as we do that, we will be able to overcome. And imagine that testimony we'll have in front of others. I couldn't do this thing. The Lord helped me with it. I was able to overcome. And it'll be an amazing testimony to other people in the world.